And welcome to In-Game Chat for Monday, October the 13th, 2008, the official podcast of colonyofgamers.com. Go over there and check it out. We've got our forums over there and talk about episodes. And, of course, talk about all things video game related as well. Welcome to the show tonight. We got a lot of stuff in store. Lots of news. I mean, I know we had a show on Saturday, but we had lots of stuff happen in between that show and this one. Plenty of stuff to talk about. StarCraft II turning into a three-game series, apparently, and lots of other stuff going on. Also tonight, well, one of the reasons you got a Saturday show last week was the fact that Thursday, when we normally do the show, we went to check out Video Games Live, about an hour away from here, and we all had our own experiences with it. I enjoyed it, although, of course, like any concert you go to, there were songs that weren't selected for the performance in your area that I was a little bit disappointed with. But tonight we're going to have the creator of that, the creator of the music you just heard as well, the composer anyway, Tommy Tallarico on tonight. So he's going to be joining us here in just a few. James has just about got his mic connected again. It fell. Oh, good job, by the way.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I just hope it doesn't come crashing down on the laptop in another 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, we won't move too much here, but
we promise not to laugh too much if that happens.
His mic will have to be cut off. Everybody's mic will have to be cut off.
You don't have enough buffer in that little red button, my friend.
If that were to happen, so
Here we are. It's been an interesting weekend, actually. More of a news heavy weekend than we usually have. But I mean, that's, you know, BlizzCon and TGS were still kind of moving right along toward the end of last week, so naturally
they're at the same time they're happening.
Yeah.
So you're getting
small amount of real information coming out of either one of those.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's StarCraft II. Not sure who has followed that or to what degree they're interested in it, but what we know at this point is that instead of simply releasing StarCraft II with all three single-player campaigns for the Protoss, Zerg, and the Terran, they're releasing each single-player campaign as a racial standalone, starting with the Terran.
Terrans, and then Zerg, and then Protoss.
And which, on the one hand, is very interesting because we know they want to include,
their goal is, they said 60
single-player missions per campaign. So that makes it understandable that they want to split it up. But I'm not sure there's any press. This isn't episodic content, really. This is something entirely different, particularly in the world of RTS, where you more or less expect that all of the races or the factions featured are going to see their single-player component. Because each one is absolutely necessary in terms of balance for the multiplayer to even exist. So how they're going to do this, even on a, I think they were saying that optimistically, a year apart, like probably no less than a year apart.
Right.
That's extremely interesting to me. We still don't know what the prices are going to be, what the retail price point is expected to be. But that's just, I don't know where. I don't understand how that idea would have come out. That's not a model I'm familiar with anybody having used before. It's very strange to me.
Yeah, I find it really, really odd. But
again,
I don't necessarily think I'm not one of those people that thinks it's like the end of the world. This is horrible. What are we all going to do?
Well, no. I mean,
which
of course
seems to
not.
Be a lot of the sentiment out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's the internet. But I think it's too early to judge whether this is a good or bad move for me, at least. Because I don't know how they plan, what they plan on splitting up, and like, how is that going to impact the multiplayer, which is obviously one of the huge draws of.
Well, I can
the
tell
series.
You already that for, as someone who was only marginally interested in the previous StarCraft, this is a good deal.
Well,
because
I'm already way
more interested in it than I would have been if it was just an updating of the previous game.
The only faction I cared about was the Terrans, and the first one was like the other two. I mean, you go do whatever. Like I don't care at all.
Yeah,
so
those things are weird. I don't know what those are.
Yeah, looks strange. I don't care.
Yeah.
I hate bugs. Bug races, not a fan. Bugs in real life, don't care about. Bug races, not a fan.
I understand.
But, so now I get to play this huge, long, drawn-out, supposedly pretty deep campaign. So I'm really stoked about that. Like, I'm terrible at multiplayer RTS games, but I might actually pick it up now so that I can play that. Yeah. I'm interested.
I think that's a really interesting thing. I just don't... I mean, again, have to refer back to the fact that...
we don't know what it's going to do to multiplayer.
Well, we don't know what it's going to do to multiplayer, and Blizzard can do whatever they want.
Well, they've got it.
Yeah.
Well, they have the kind of mobility that only that extraordinary amount of money buys. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, that extraordinary amount of money will buy
this,
anything.
This is an interesting risk that they're taking with a franchise that's already established and inordinately well-loved by a lot
right.
of people, and they're just saying, "Yeah, we don't want to give you what you were expecting. We know that you would have paid us redonkulous amounts of money, but
yeah.
we're not going to give that to you." Even, and this is even on top of the fact that there's hints of monetizing
Battle.net.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm no doubt their ideas there are going to play into what happens with these three
right.
different releases for StarCraft II, but they can honestly.
They can do whatever they want.
They can absolutely do whatever they want, and that's actually really fun, you know.
From yeah, and it's from both a like a they can achieve nearly anything in gameplay that they want as well due to that massive
yeah.
stack of funds.
Like
I particularly like the interview when they were talking about the rune system in Diablo 3, and they ask him, and Jay said, "We have a saying at Blizzard when something looks like." Too much work. How about we pay you? You can work on it, and every 2 weeks we cut you a check. Like, that's a great approach to game development.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of StarCraft II, one of the things that we got to see at Video Games Live this past Thursday was their performance.
The arrangement that they had played in Korea.
Right. Yes.
For the first time at the announcement of StarCraft II.
So we welcome to the show right now, Tommy Tallarico. Are you there?
Yo, I am.
Hey Tommy.
How you doing?
Pretty damn good. Just finished up the Blizzard show this weekend, as you guys were talking about. It was an amazing event. We had about 15,000 people watching the closing ceremonies. 15 huge HD screens being broadcast on DirecTV and HD pay-per-view. It was crazy.
Wow, I guess so. You were over there for the Blizzard thing then, right?
Yeah, we were the closing ceremony of BlizzCon.
Man, you were going all over the place then.
Yeah, it was funny.
We'd seen you in Birmingham Thursday night.
We were in Birmingham Thursday night. We flew overnight and landed and started setting up on Friday morning for BlizzCon. And before Birmingham, we did 2.5 weeks in Brazil. So we had flown right from Brazil to Birmingham. Talk about culture shock.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very much so. Video Games Live. Now, I know you've mentioned the show, and by the way, let me get this out of the way real quick. Your interview with GameSpot went on their site today.
It did. Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah.
So Steven Tyler's your cousin?
He is. Yeah, his real name is Steven Tallarico. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Man, that's crazy.
I'll tell you a funny story. I get a call from Steven one day, and he's like, "Hey, you ever go on this Wikipedia thing?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, go on my page right now." I said, "Okay." So I go on Steven Tyler's Wikipedia page, and down at the bottom it says a little, like, fun fact. It says, video game composer Tommy Tallarico is cousins with Steven Tyler. I said, "Oh, that's pretty cool." He goes, "Yeah, now go on your page." I'm like, "Okay. I'm not on your page." What are we going to do about that? What the hell is going on here? You know, it was pretty funny.
Oh, he doesn't have an ego at all, does he?
No, he's a great guy.
Well, it was just interesting because we're sitting there watching it, and you guys use Guitar Hero Aerosmith during the performance.
Yeah.
And then I read this interview, and I'm like, well, that makes a whole lot of sense now, doesn't it?
That makes sense.
That's
exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny because Jack actually used to say on stage before we do it, he'd introduce me on stage and say that... in fact, you know, Tommy, Steven Tyler's cousin, blah, blah, blah. But no one ever believed him, so he just stopped doing it. Because we're just like, never mind. People think we're just joking around.
Yeah. Well, how did this whole thing come about? First off, were you just sitting around one day and thought, I want to do a live symphony performance concert? I mean, how did this thing get birthed in your head?
Well, it's funny, actually. When I was 9 years old, I would go down to the arcade and record all my favorite video game music on cassette tape. And I would splice it all together, and I would record stuff from, like, my Commodore 64 and my Apple II and my Intellivision, friend's Atari, and things like that. And I'd splice it all together. Then I'd invite all the neighborhood kids over and charge them a nickel. And I used to stand in front of my TV and with all different my favorite video game images playing, and I'd hit play on the tape recorder and play air guitar in front of the TV. You know, so I guess that was back in 77, 78. So I guess.
So you've been doing video games live essentially for 32 years. Yeah,
32 years.
But no, me and Jack got together in 2002. Jack Wall, of course, is my my partner with Video Games Live, an amazing video game composer in his own right. He's been composing for over 12 years, myself for over 18 years. Jack did music from Myst and Splinter Cell, and last year he did Mass Effect. So, you know, we wanted to create a show that showed the world, that would prove to the world how culturally significant and artistic video games and their music have become. And so it was really important for us to put together a show that had the synchronized video and the visuals, that had the rock and roll excitement and energy and special effects and the lighting and the interactivity with the crowd, and to present it in a really fun way, and to have stage show production and this and that. You know, we wanted to kind of make it a celebration of the video game industry, but almost like a spectacle, so that any person who you know, who knew nothing about video games could come to the show and follow along and be really impressed by, you know, what they were seeing and hearing. So that was very important to us, because, you know, people in the past, like in Japan, they've been doing video game concerts for nearly 20 years now, but it's mostly just a classical symphony on stage playing video game music in a very classical atmosphere. We didn't want to do that. We applaud people. You know, there's a lot of concerts out there that'll do something like that. We think it's fantastic, of course. But for us, we wanted to create an event. We wanted to create a show, not just a concert, but you know, a complete celebration. So, you know, now that you've been in Alabama, you know, I know at the meet and greet after the show, we got so many people who came up to us, people in their 50s and 60s, and we saw grandmothers and grandparents who were bringing their
grandsons. We saw a lot of those there as well. We had
a ton of non-gamers there, right?
A lot of curious questions. They're like, "What are they doing here?"
Yeah, but that's the reason we created it. We get about 30% of our audience are non-gamers, or people who've never played a video game before, or maybe have played Pac-Man in the early 80s or something, haven't played in 20 years or something. You know, it's about 30% of our audience, and again, that's why we created the show and why we created it the way we did. Of course, the flip side of this whole thing is that we're also ushering in a whole new generation of people to come out and see a symphony, which is also very, very cool as well. But our main goal was to create a show for that anyone in the world could come out and enjoy. And until you see video games live and experience it for yourself, I mean, you could watch all the trailers and you could watch all the, you know, the 2,300 videos on YouTube or whatever, but until you're there and you kind of experience it with a crowd and kind of see how it's presented and everything, it's very hard to describe to somebody. I kind of it's like Cirque du Soleil almost, where, you know, until you see it with your own two eyes, you know, it's really hard to explain to somebody. So, I don't know, would you say that to be true now that you're in the show?
Well, yeah, I believe so. See, we've had some different opinions of the show. I mean, obviously, it's very dependent on the venue you see it in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's another friend of ours who saw it at a place in Ohio, and he was brought to tears with some of the compositions that were being played.
Right.
Sure. Although this, I think, I'm not sure if this wasn't the first time I'd been at this venue that you guys were at in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. It was only maybe the second time in God knows how many years that I'd been there. Cause I really didn't remember the place. And when I got there, I thought, oh, it's smaller than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit more compact, but I think it all depends on, I guess, where you're seeing. Cause I know where we were, some of the lighting was like, totally in our eyes. We were in the floor seats, though, and I know the guys sitting up in the balconies had a much different experience than what we had way down on the front, although it was still, you know, music without the set piece type of thing. The music itself, that was an experience just to hear it being performed live.
Sure.
The vocalists and you know the choral group in the back, and you know you had your piano player and who did a great job on the Final Fantasy tunes and that sort of thing. And of course, it also comes down to I hope they play my song. It really comes down, because I was going in, and I was hoping, please play Myst, please play Myst, please play Myst.
Oh, we didn't play Myst that night.
No, they didn't play. I don't know how. See, I remember seeing this way a long time ago. I was like, oh, my God, they play Myst. I was going over the list, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then I got down to Myst, and I thought, I got to see the show. I don't care. I'm such a big fan. But that
works to our advantage and disadvantage.
There's
so much great video game music out there. The disadvantage, of course, being, I mean, we've created over 50 shows for 50 segments for Video Games Live over the past 4 years, and we can only play about 20 of them a night. So the good news is, though, is that when we come back, you'll see a show that's 50% different, and you can damn well guarantee that Myst will be one of them.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Just for you.
I was going to say, how does that selection process work, and how far in advance do you, like, we'll just take the Birmingham show, for instance.
Yeah.
How far in advance did you have to plan that out?
About maybe 2 or 3 months ago, because you have to start to give the music to the symphonies, the side parts, where, you know, individuals in the symphony will start requesting mm-hmm. the music to kind of go over and this and that. So, yeah, a couple months out. But, yeah, it is a difficult process. I mean, obviously, you know, we have a base of which we start from, which will always include things like, you know, when we play a place for the very first time, like we did in Birmingham,
right.
You know, you have to have Mario and Zelda and Warcraft and Halo and Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts and Metal Gear Solid and Castlevania and Metroid and Sonic. Like, okay, well, that's about 3/4 of the show. And then, like you say, you know, we have our soloists, the solo piano players, and we do our interactive segments like you saw with the Space Invaders and the Guitar Hero. It's like, okay, now 95% of the show is done.
Mm-hmm.
So we got like 2 or 3 more to fill in here. So
you throw in God of War, and then you throw in Civ 4,
and then you're done.
Yeah.
You know? So, again, so it is something, when we go to a place for the first time, we really use those base of the most popular stuff that we know everyone, you know, the majority of people
right.
will know and want to hear. When we go back year two, though, you know, you might be hearing stuff like
some Chrono Cross,
BioShock,
and
Chrono Cross, Chrono Trigger, Mega Man, Myst, you know, things like Beyond Good and Evil or Tomb Raider, or, you know, some of the other EverQuest or Medal of Honor. You know, there's so many great stuff.
When we got back from the show, we started looking, you know, because you said in the show that you had so many more pieces, that so many more arrangements.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, we need to, like, really see what all of those are. And we were looking at the list, and we were like, we could see this for 3 days in a row.
I know, yeah.
You know?
You and could,
like, oh,
yeah.
My God, Chrono Cross,
or we could put on a 10-hour performance.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I would be really happy to, because, like, we identified so many favorites in the list of things we didn't hear. So, obviously, that means at the next possible opportunity.
Well, even you even take a game like Final Fantasy, for example, where you say, okay, well, Final Fantasy, we played one song from Final Fantasy, and of course, you know, One Winged Angel, everybody's first favorite, and this and that, but, you know, we've created so many other Final Fantasy segments. From Final Fantasy VIII, you got Libre Fatale. From 10, you got, you know, I mean, there's so much different stuff, and of course, as you're probably aware, they do a whole concert of just Final Fantasy music. Just this past weekend, we did a whole concert of just Blizzard music. StarCraft 2, or StarCraft, Diablo series, Warcraft. You know, we did a whole hour-long concert of just Blizzard music, you know? So, again, it's something that in the long run works to our advantage, that there's so much great content and great stuff to pull from.
How hard is it being a composer yourself and not selecting things you've done?
Well, you know, I try to put in, I mean, you know, we have a segment, Advent Rising, a game that won, it wasn't a popular game, but the music won a lot of awards.
That was one of the ones I was hoping that we would see.
Well, there you go. And so that's in the show. And, you know, we get tons and tons and tons of requests for Earthworm Jim. another one that I worked on. So we're actually putting together a segment for Earthworm Jim now. I'm working on Mega Man, Earthworm Jim, Chrono Trigger, and Shadow of the Colossus.
Great choices. Whoa. Really, really great choices.
Yeah, so those are all stuff that are going to be coming in 2009. And again, I got to slot those in with all, like the ones we did this year that we've added to the show this year. We added Metroid and Castlevania, which you guys heard. But we added BioShock. We added Mass Effect, you know, Jack's piece.
Yeah.
We added the new Command & Conquer. We added, I don't even have the list in front of me, but you know, Crysis, you know, so all the Halo 3, so all the great stuff from last year, you know, is being put in. So yeah, so much great stuff to choose from.
It's got to be very hard. I mean, it's hard to go to that and know the entire pool of things you could potentially listen to, but it's got to be much harder recognizing that, you know, each one of those is something that deserves to be in the show, and you can only do like. Now maybe like a third of them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We get 20 segments that we do in the show. Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware, but not a lot comes to Alabama, so I was wondering how that came to be.
Well, the Alabama Symphony contacted us, and I think that a lot of symphonies around the world are really trying to connect with a younger generation. So, you know, a lot of times the symphonies will contact us because they're looking to usher in, like I was saying earlier, usher in a new generation of people to come and see the shows and hopefully, you know, turns them on to other stuff as well. So the Alabama Symphony, which, as you guys had heard, I said in my opening speech was the absolute fact. I mean, I don't say that, you know, in every show, but, you know, the Alabama Symphony is one of the top symphonies in the entire country. And that's a fact, actually. There was an article in the New Yorker, in fact, last year, where the top classical reviewer guy put the Alabama Symphony in the top 10 that he has ever heard. So, I mean, it is pretty amazing. Well, I mean, you guys were there. You heard it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'd be lying if I said every show sounded exactly that great, you know.
Well, we appreciate your willingness to stop somewhere that a lot of people overlook.
Yeah.
We
thought we were going to have to go to Atlanta for this.
And what's funny is we've never played Atlanta yet. We haven't played Atlanta yet. It's on our schedule for 2009. But yeah, you'd think
that's amazing itself that you played Birmingham before you played Atlanta.
It's a true fact.
That's good for us. That never, ever happens.
Well,
at all.
You know, I think it says a lot about video game music too, though. You know, where you know we can go to a place like Birmingham, Alabama, and you know put. 14, I think there were 1,400 people there that night. It was a smaller show, like you guys have said, you know. But you know, we're willing to play anywhere to spread the word. You know, just this past year alone, we've had sellout shows in Korea and New Zealand and Taiwan and Mexico and all North America. But you know, Brazil and Portugal, Spain, Germany, London, France, Scotland. I mean, you know, that I think that says a lot for the industry.
It says a ton.
Well,
you know, what bands, you know, you might have a band that's really popular in America but isn't popular in Brazil, or a band that's popular in Germany but no one knows who they are in Taiwan, you know? So to kind of be able to perform all around the world, to sell out crowds and big crowds, and again, to go to a place like Birmingham, Alabama, that no one, you know, has ever seen video games live before, and to have 1,300, 1,400 people show up on the first night, I mean, that's pretty incredible. That's a huge success.
Well, it is, and it's not just a question of being able to continue to do it, but your growth year over year
it's crazy.
I mean, kind of ridiculous. I mean, early on, it was like you were doubling year by year, and you're still, you know, doing...
We still are.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was like 50-something shows this year?
We did 3 shows in 2005, 11 shows in 2006, 29 shows in 2007, and over 50 shows this year in 2008, and we're scheduling about 70 to 75 shows for next year. And what's great about that is every time we come back to a city, so, you know, although there was was, you know, 1,400 people in Alabama. Next year, when we go back, that'll be 2,000 people. And mm-hmm. the year after that, 3,000, you know. So it will continue to grow. You know, we've played a place like Houston four times now, or L.A., or, you know, Brazil. We came back for the third year this time. And every year, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger because, as I was saying earlier, it is one of those kind of word-of-mouth things, you know, where people are going to spread word of mouth. All those parents who came there, that 20 to 30% of the audience in Birmingham that never probably ever played a video game, who saw the show, you know, they were all coming up after the show at the meet and greet going, oh my gosh, I'm going to tell all my friends. I can't believe how entertaining this was.
Yeah,
I didn't know
don't write it off because it's got video game in the title.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Has this become your career now?
It really has, yeah. I mean, I basically was doing four things until this took over my life. I have Tommy Tallarico Studios, which is my audio post-production company in the video game world. Worked on over 300 video games, and I'm still working on some really kind of smaller projects, some DS projects here and there, just to kind of keep in it or whatever. But
could we commission you for a theme song?
Sure. So there was that. I also was doing three television shows, national television shows, The Electric Playground, Reviews on the Run, or it was called Judgment Day here in the U.S., and then a third one, I helped to launch the Championship Gaming Series for DirecTV. So I was doing, I had three full-time shows doing weekly episodes. I had to put that aside. And then also the nonprofit organization I started, the Game Audio Network Guild, which I founded about 7 years ago. I'm now the chairman and CEO, but I kind of gave up my post as president. We hired a full-time guy who does that as well now.
You're
so
just way too busy, though. I mean, seriously.
It's great. I mean, I have no complaints here. I mean, I only sleep about 4 hours a day and love it. There's so much great things to do, and building video games live is like I said, really been a passion of mine for 30 years, really, if you go all the way back. But and it's having such a positive effect on the entire industry, and for helping to make video games more mainstream and more accepted by people who don't know about it. Because I mean, the reality is that video games have become the entertainment of choice for the 21st century. All of the people who grew up on video games, I mean, I turned 40 this year, but we grew up on games. We didn't stop playing, and now that our generation is having children, it's evolved into our culture. It's something that families are now, doing together all over the world. And like the film industry happened in the, in the 1910s and 20s, when films first came out, they weren't universally accepted by everyone. The older folks who had grown up on vaudeville were like, what is this garbage? Vaudeville's where it's at, And the same thing happened to rock and roll in the 50s. It takes generations and generations of people to grow up on those mediums before it is completely 100% accepted. And the reality is that over the next 10 or 15 years, we're going to have a president of the United States who grew up playing video games, So maybe the world's problems will be resolved in a death match, a flag match, a Halo or something. Who knows, Capture the flag.
It'd be a lot less expensive. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being on the show with us. Do you guys have any more questions before we go?
I got everything in. I was interested.
Yeah, okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure just before we go. Thank you so much for your time, and especially on such a real short notice to join us on the show tonight. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no worries. I appreciate you guys helping to spread the word. It's great.
Yeah, it's are there any big plans for 2009?
Yeah, we're probably going to come out with our second album, and we're going to come out with a DVD as well that we've been working on. Our first album came out at the end of July this year, and it debuted at number 10 on the Billboard charts, so we're really happy about that. So, putting out another album in 2009, working on a TV special as well for a national broadcast. And going to more places. China is going to be a big one for us in 2009. playing a bunch of shows over there. You know, more shows in Asia, Australia. You know, just hitting all of the, and we're hitting the smaller towns as well. You know, we're doing a whole Canadian tour and going to places like, you know, Saskatoon, and you know, kind of the, you know, the cities that are, you know, you might compare to a city like Birmingham. Mm-hmm. You know, bring it to the small places, smaller places as well as the bigger, you know, cities. Well, smaller places. Birmingham's it's the biggest city in Alabama, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. So just, you know, continuing to expand it more.
Well, we appreciate you coming to Alabama and bringing it here. We really do. And we appreciate the work, the effort, and you know, the 4 hours of sleep that you get in putting this whole thing on. We really appreciate all you do for it. So thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight. And, hey, where you're playing somewhere tomorrow night, right?
We're headed to London next. We're doing two shows at the Royal Festival Hall, which is, you know, one of the most prestigious venues in all of Europe. In fact, we played there last year. We did a sold-out show, and it was the only show that sold out at the Royal Festival Hall last year.
Wow.
So we're doing two shows over there this year. And then from there, we hit Vancouver, Kansas City, Chicago, and Boston, all in November. So, and it's a first time a video game concert ever been in Boston, first time in Kansas City. So again, always hitting it, and you know, and in the places we do return, looking to grow it every year.
Well, good luck with everything. I don't really think you need that. I think you're doing fine without it, but it's wonderful. And again, you know, come back on the show. We'd love to have you back on. And again, I'll hit you up for that commission on a theme song for our show.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you later, Tommy. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tommy Tallarico from Video Games Live is now out touring everywhere, so make sure you go by there. There's a CD that you can pick up. I think you can pick it up on Amazon and plenty of other places if you want to buy it. So it's great, and we enjoyed the show. And welcome back to In-Game Chat for Monday, October 13th, 2008. Jumping back into some of the news that happened, I guess, over the weekend here for us. There was the news of Richard Garriott.
Yep. Lord British finally made it to space.
Yeah.
Took off on Sunday.
I envy him.
Yesterday. Well, he's been trying for a while. He was supposed to have the original seat.
I don't envy him for paying $30 million to do it, but I envy him.
Well,
for being up there.
It's a big deal for him.
Yeah, it is. It is.
He's wanted to do it forever. His father was a serving scientist astronaut.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that
until I read the article
recently.
Yeah.
I think I heard it on it was on NPR. They were talking about him on NPR. His dad served on Space Lab and Skylab, which is very cool.
Well, I mean, it explains a lot about why he wanted to go.
Yeah.
In more than just like space is cool kind of deal. Like.
Didn't he take a bunch of DNA up there with him or something?
Yeah, the Immortality Project.
The Immortality Drive. Yeah, he did. Sure did.
Yeah, there's a bunch of DNA up there. Not mine.
No, not mine either.
No.
I can't trust anybody else with my DNA.
Man, look. Clones. Clones will happen.
I know. An entire army of...
Angry bears.
Of angry bears. You don't want that.
I just don't want to have to fight my evil twin.
Yeah.
I thought
that was extremely interesting for him to go up there. Nice long trip.
Yeah, I got into the World at War beta. I got my beta key from Eurogamer.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting seeing as how like I never saw the signups.
Yeah,
I never saw redirects, never saw anything.
I never saw a sign up either. I just saw somebody say, "Hey, they're giving them out." And I went over there.
I mean, you went to a place where you sign up. You obviously saw signups. You obviously saw the mechanism for getting a key or something like that. Like I never saw any of it. The very first word I heard of it was that everybody's got their invites.
Well, the very first thing I heard was I looked at my Xbox Live friends list and people were playing it. And I was like...
That's even more jarring.
You hate that when that happens.
When
you see something completely different, like somebody was playing Volition Inc. the other day, but it was the Red Alert.
Sure. Of course it was.
You know, anytime I see something up there and I'm like, what is that? I get...
My favorite is the joinable dashboard.
Yeah.
Nothing's more interesting than seeing someone playing the dashboard, but they're joinable.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because you know something's going on that you're not privy to, and you I hate that.
Right.
I do. I do. Because I want to know what they're playing, and I want to be playing it. It's
you don't just, get to, Scott.
No. I know. It's one of those things about betas. I
well,
just want to get in there.
Finally, or at least almost finally, Castle Crashers patch. Ready for certification?
Well, almost ready for certification.
I know. It's one of those things.
Was the, like, we're almost there. We're about to send it off to cert. Almost kind of. You might get to play this
sometime in the middle of everything else happening, all the other things you're going to be playing in another 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll hit, like, in the middle of November or something.
What was the other beta? Oh, Stargate Worlds.
Stargate Worlds, yeah.
Which...
Where was that sign up? There was one, yeah.
I actually saw that one.
That one went so fast.
Yes,
that's a problem.
That one went extremely fast.
Like, I saw that news post, like, I don't know, maybe 12 hours late, and it was like, oh, the signs were closed.
Yeah. And they got hammered really bad, because the first time I saw it, I followed the link, and the entire site... Well, it was down. The redirect toward the beta signups was completely down. So, no surprise there. Computer geeks who watch Stargate. I mean,
yeah,
I'm one of them. So,
you know, we were talking with Tommy there, and I totally didn't hit the weekly release, which
really
is going to be
the dead base release.
What? Yeah.
Which is going to be becoming more and more important here as the weeks go on.
This week, though, for the most part,
it's the dead space.
It's
there's
dead
actually
space.
A ton of stuff coming out. You may not be interested in like a majority of it, but there's still a ton of things. SOCOM comes
well,
out.
Well, SOCOM, yeah, that's a completely legitimate release.
Well,
that I won't play.
Yeah,
it's a completely legitimate release for those of you with PlayStation 3s.
Yes.
However, Dead Space is something everyone can get excited. We can
that's
all
true.
Get excited about Dead Space.
Dead Space is out. SOCOM, Saints Row 2, and if you have a Wii, Sam and Max Season 1, which is definitely worth it, I would believe. On the way. Oh, wait. World of Goo.
Yes.
I forget that's this week, because I got it last week, which is really nice of him to do. The people who got the PC pre-orders, he sent out a little something last Monday. So, there you go. You have a game a week early. Enjoy. So, I've played about maybe half.
Now, you keep bringing up Dead Space, Daniel. Are you going to buy that, or what are you doing?
No, I'm excited about it, but I don't... I'm waiting.
So, you got it in, what, your rental queue or whatever?
It's in my queue. I think I added it too late to actually get it.
Well, it's not shipping out until the 16th,
so maybe
there's still a decent chance.
Yeah.
I think it's in stores on Wednesday. And then
for
whatever reason GameFly will ship it to us on Thursday and probably get it on Saturday.
Yeah.
I know they sent me Saints Row 2 today. So I'll get that probably on Wednesday. And
I wanna it's something that I might be interested in buying if it turns out to be as good as I hope it is. If that makes sense.
Dead Space?
Yeah.
So you are going to rent it with the intent of, if I like this, I will buy it?
Right. Okay. It's not something that I've completely written off already, if that's what you're asking.
You know, I think I kind of have. Not really written it off that
it's
I
not
won't.
Multiplayer, though. Which
see,
is
that's
why
the thing. This looks like
I
can go
know.
Through it one time, and I'm done with it.
Yeah.
That's... We'll see. You know, when you're talking about what games are you going to be picking up, and me and James had this discussion last night, I was thinking, well, like Dead Space has the story to go with it, I guess, and you know, it is what it is. However, that's all it is. You know, Fable 2 has the co-op that you can do, so you can get some different playtime, and probably longer. Far Cry 2 has multiplayer with it, so, I mean, you can get something out of that.
In all fairness to the discussion... the time of year notwithstanding.
That too.
And that is a legitimate thing, but BioShock was a strictly single-player experience, and by all reports, Dead Space lasts around the same amount of time that BioShock would last.
You know what I want to say about BioShock, though, is that it came out in...
No, that's why I said time of year notwithstanding.
Right.
Like, because you made specific statements about it doesn't have multiplayer, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not a terribly long game.
True.
Really, I don't think it's going to differ a whole lot in those respects, and the fact that it's story-driven and not terribly long. I suppose it could vary, but I'm hearing anyway from 15 to 18 hours.
If this was a game that came out 2 weeks ago, it would have.
It may have been better served, actually, in the same slot that BioShock filled in August, like a month ago, where it was an absolutely, like, more or less guaranteed AAA title. I mean, you certainly knew that it was budgeted that way.
Mm-hmm.
Filled to the brim with hype, and 6 weeks out from its nearest heavy-hitting competitor.
Or
so.
Perhaps even if they had, you know, put it off until the spring.
Right.
if they had pushed it back a little bit.
I mean, either way,
it's out of the fall.
Playable.
Yeah, I think it's getting.
It's still in a good spot, but I think it's going to be cannibalized a little bit from the stuff that people are dealing with later on. I mean, I certainly hope it's an excellent game, but I can't imagine it stacking up.
Yeah.
Winning the battle for money against something like Fallout. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, a choice between Too Human or Dead Space, rather than a choice between...
That would have been a much tougher choice for me to make.
It would have been an extremely difficult choice.
But instead of being a choice between Dead Space, Fable 2, Fallout 3, Little Big Planet, for those who have a PS3, but then again, you know, it's out on that system as well. So you got plenty... It's got lots of competition out there. Lots of things that can take your time and your money away from it, though. So, and I'm almost done with those...
You're almost
comics,
done with the animated comics.
Yes.
That's good.
You've got
five and
six
left. Six just came out.
Yeah.
So now with just a few days to go. Yeah, I highly recommend them. I have recommended them before. I like the style. I think it's an interesting way to present that.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
The only one I haven't watched so far is six.
Yeah, I haven't seen six yet either. Yeah. So thought that was really good. You know, another thing that was really interesting, I just saw it today, a news post today, that, you know, I spend the better part of a week having unkind things to say about the Wii. But, I mean, I've said this before. I've been hoisted by my own petard at the hands of the Virtual Console more than a few times.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
And what's on the Virtual Console now? Secret of Mana.
Yeah.
Like, I would stab myself in the eye with a Wiimote to get some Secret of Mana. I loved that game. It's one of my favorite games. It's in my top 10 of all time. It's a magnificent, magnificent game. And, like, every now and then stuff like that, of that quality, comes out on the VC. And... For my own personal tastes, like if I had to compare PSN, Live Arcade, and VC as far as stuff I would like to have,
mm-hmm.
in total honesty, I would really have to take the VC titles over anything else. They really do manage to push out some quality.
Well, especially
stuff.
If you look at that past history of things that have the potential to be released there.
That's
that
really
you know
great,
will
man.
Be released there and probably not on... You know, PSN or the
and I'm assuming I don't have any detailed information available right now, but I'm assuming that you'll be able to multiplay it.
Yes, it does. That
was
one through three.
I don't know if you ever played. Did you ever play Secret of Mana?
I
was brilliant.
I had
you played
three for all of
you could. Very you could multiplay it three people at the same time on the same screen. Because
three.
Yeah, okay. you had to get it only had two ports, but you had to get the there was a
you get the little adapter.
There was a little multi tap.
Wow.
And you could play it because there were three people in your party and you could sort of bounce between them all, which worked extremely well at the time, even for a single player experience. I mean, I loved it as an RPG system. I'm really sad that it didn't go anywhere else. I loved the inventory system, the weapon and item management. I mean, talk about like really spending a lot of time going into detail. For every weapon, there was like you could level up the weapon X number of times for each player.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of detail, a lot of being able to play with it and get different experiences out of the combat. But you could have two other people with you, and just each person could take command of one of the players. It was an extremely fun game.
Speaking of fun games, what did we play this weekend? What did you get anything? Did you get any game time in there, Daniel?
No, I hardly got to touch anything this weekend.
I've been playing a lot of Dragon Quest IV on the DS.
Yeah.
Which, good stuff, and they've made a lot of improvements. Particularly in that you can actually control your entire party.
Yeah.
This time, because I remember on the old NES version, it was like, you had one character and everybody else was AI controlled. Which made for a really terrible gameplay experience.
I know I got in some Force Unleashed this weekend.
You and I were talking about that last night. I felt so bad for you because everything you had to say was a thought that went through my mind while I was.
End this game before I end my life playing it. I'm ready to end this game. I'm ready to finish it. And so when I get the opportunity, because when you use codes, it doesn't allow you to save your progress. When I have that kind of time, I'm coding it and I'm going through it just to get it out of the way.
Yeah. And
achievements be damned. I don't care anymore. I just want to get this game off my back.
Yeah. Telling me where you were. I really don't understand how
that's
I managed to get through
game.
It. Like the temperament that I have and the problem I have with games that do this, I don't understand how I managed to get through it in a single weekend.
I don't either.
But I like
Seems
I said,
kind of character for you.
Yes, it really was.
You must have been sick or something.
I don't know what it is. I don't regret my time with it. I just regret. I said it exactly the same way you did. This isn't fun.
Why your do game, they think it's fun?
The game is kind of fun, but you're doing things to me that aren't fun.
And those things, why did someone sit there and say, well, we're going to do this, they'll love it? Well, they won't.
Yeah.
Who you ever had to test that and said, this is great, guys, do more of it?
I don't know.
It's angry. Yeah.
Shoot them in the face. Yeah. Seriously.
Well, we don't get this very
often. I threw a controller and I threw other things around the house. I was so upset.
Dogs. Small animals.
I was so upset. Go ahead, Danny. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I played Little Big Planet, and there's a story to go along with that, but we might have to save that for the next show.
Yeah, we will. She found out how to control her character, basically.
Well, it's a fun time. I'll let James tell that next show.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
And I know we've only got a few minutes left. James, you played...
I tried to get a little more of what I could. I mean, thankfully, we finally got some Little Big Planet beta codes to come through, so I wanted to spend the time I could with that. So I did that, and, you know, mistakenly showed Dana how to boogie with a sack boy. That was about it.
There weren't your play time.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. She doesn't care. It's like she can boogie with a freaky little sack girl, and, like, she can make a dance, and it's amazing. Like, that's pretty much the ultimate in game design as far as she's concerned.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I'm having, like... weird little sort of anticipatory emotions about tomorrow morning. So I played a lot of World of Warcraft. The big 302 patch goes.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Lich King preparatory patch. Whatever. I forgot. They actually titled it because the patch changes are going to include world event level of things while we play, you know, through the Looking Glass WoW for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
With everything turned upside down. I'm really looking forward to it. It's a major deal when you've spent time in a game and, like, things work the way they do. And every 2 years, Blizzard kicks over the card table and says, you know, forget everything you know. It's all different now. It's an extraordinary amount of fun. It's almost like, you know, a mini expansion before the expansion. Lots of fun. So that's happening. Those are basically the two things I did this weekend.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of In-Game Chat. We will see you for Wednesday's show, and thanks for joining us. Good night.